God has said a lot, but there are a few things that that need to be shared to kind of seal this thing. Is that okay? Now, I'm not at the risk of sounding like, worship team, can y'all come over here? Can y'all get over here so I can see all of y'all? At the risk of sounding like, you know, those more seasoned pastors where it'd be like, I won't be before you long. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to talk a long time. Because I know that I consciously think about our capacity to receive revelation from God. And one of the things that the Lord has really been speaking about is this, just this need to walk in the revelation that God releases and respond to it and not just hear it and get excited. And so I try to be, well, not try, because that's not a part of my vocab anymore. So I am sensitive and conscious. Thank you, worship team. I love y'all. I like to see y'all. And so I'm conscious of what can be released in one sitting so it doesn't become overwhelming to you. You guys get what I'm saying? And I know today has been, I don't want to say different, but it's been unique in the fact that we didn't, you know, go in with the music like we are known for. But I'm telling you, this house, even though our DNA is one of the prophetic expressions of worship, you have to know that we're multifaceted. And the DNA of heirs is multifaceted. And I would tell you that the DNA is one of prayer, of prophecy, of the apostolic, but also the supernatural. And so I'm going to take my time to explain a couple of things, not today, but I'm going to explain a couple of things today very slowly. And I'm not going to rush it. And when the time is up, the time is up. So if y'all give me about 20 minutes or so, we'll be good. Because I don't want y'all to be sitting here thinking, man, I want to go out to eat and the restaurant's going to be all full by the time we get out, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And so what we're talking about is demonstrating the supernatural power of God. A lot of people believe in miracles. Do you believe in miracles?
Yes.
But how do you believe in miracles? Because the question is, are you believing for a miracle to be worked for you, or are you believing for miracles to be worked through you? And those of you who were in the class yesterday, you already know where I'm going with it. This is different content, but you already know the point. Well, not content, revelation. I'm changing that language too. For those of us who are in business and we talk about releasing content, being content creators, God spoke to me and said, his people in business are not content creators. They are revelation releasers. So there's a difference in posture between praying, asking God to do a miracle for you versus posturing yourself and using your authority for God to partner with you and demonstrate the miracle through you. A lot of people, and I would say God told me this recently, a lot of people who have been praying for miracles have not had their prayers answered because they are believing God to do it sovereignly. There are some signs that are sovereign, what I would call sovereign signs. What God would do them without our partnership, collaboration, he just moves. But there are some that are confirming or collaborative signs where God would not perform that sign, wonder, or miracle without his established believer whom he has given authority to walk in that and demonstrate it. Some things, and that's why today I said we are exercising authority, because some things don't cease until you say enough is enough. And some people will be looking at God, God, why don't you help me? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? And Jesus is saying, I already helped you. I gave you the power to do a thing and to speak a thing and to exercise authority over a thing. This is why I don't pray for miracles. This is why I cringe every time I hear somebody say, Lord, send your power. We need your power, Lord. Because God already sent his power. He's not doing it again because he already did it. In Acts chapter 1, it says that. It says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So the moment we received Holy Spirit, he came on the inside of us, but he also came upon us. Right. And as he is upon us, we have power. Say power. Power. Now, I know I'm explaining this very gently, but every now and then, I just want you to yell something back at me. So we don't have to ask that. And so the problem is when people cry and they ask God to send the power and we need your power, Lord, and all of that, it's very passionate because it's a soul heart. It's a cry from their soul and from their heart, but it's not biblically aligned with what God is doing. And even though it's passionate and people are sobbing and Lord and on their knees crying and your heart just goes out to them, but they're out of alignment and that's why they're not getting an answer. So the objective is to move this house and everybody connected to this house to a place of greater revelation so we're not saying and doing a thing that's beneath how God is moving and wondering why we're not seeing the results that we want to see or in the timing we should see them. Because there are certain things when we are babies that God would just overlook. And I said this yesterday. And the example was with Joshua. When he was in the battle, he didn't want the sun to go down because he knew the enemies would escape. So he commanded the sun to stand still. He didn't ask God to cause the sun to stand still. He said, sun, stand still. And the scripture says, the scripture wrote that the sun stood still and that basically time stopped and the day didn't end until they finished smiting the enemy. But do you know, if we were to pray that prayer today, it wouldn't work? But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because there's different levels of revelation, and as God is revealing more about himself, we are required to walk in that greater degree of revelation, whether we receive it or not. Because a lot of people will say, oh, that's revelation for you, for not revelation for me. But you know what? That is a worldly, natural, and cultural perspective. Because the world says that about the truth. They say, oh, it's true for you, not for me, true for me, my truth, share your truth, our truth. There's only one truth. And so that has seeped into the perspective of believers in relation to revelation. But trust, there's only one revelation. The scripture says apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers were given to the body of Christ for the perfecting of the saints, and people say to do the work of the ministry. But they don't read the other part, even though it says maturing, but the other part of that says until we come into the knowledge of the Son of God. It says unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, meaning that there's a unity, a unification in our understanding of God and our operation of how we use the faith that God has given us and a unification in the encounters we have with God. While we are all at different places because we're all growing at different rates, but there is a unity in what we all should be believing and saying and experiencing in Holy Spirit. So there's only one revelation, and people's response to it determines if they allow that revelation to change them. And this is why when people pray, if they pray the sun stands still, it won't work because revelation has progressed. Because science has proven or discovered, because all truth come from God, science, math, English, all of that. And, you know, that was the perspective that I learned when I went to school, because thank God he sent me to a school started by believers that teach you from a biblical perspective in the marketplace. So I know that all these truths come from God. It's not worldly to understand 2 times 2 is 4. And it's not, oh, that's just natural knowledge. That's not natural knowledge, because it didn't originate from the natural. It originated from the realm of the spirit. And so science discovers what God has already created. And an unbelieving scientist would try to explain what God has done from a natural standpoint. A believer in science will look at it from the natural, but also give revelation and understand what God is really saying and doing. Now, we know, because science has uncovered, that the sun doesn't move, does it? No. The sun already stands still. So if we were to say, sun, stand still in the name of Jesus, and start throwing oil in the sky, trying to make it rain olive oil, nothing will happen. Because God has revealed that the sun stands still and the earth rotates around the sun. And the moon rotates around the earth simultaneously. And for those who are still confused, I don't know where this spirit of confusion has come from. The earth is not flat. Because we know, even on the news just the other day, people are talking about NASA has confirmed with pictures the earth is flat. What picture did you look at? But you see how something that is so common sense that everybody knows, that the spirit of deception is dulling people's mind to the point where reality has been so twisted, they now think the earth is flat again. I'm like, I thought Christopher Columbus figured that out. So you get the example, revelation is progressive. So if we were to pray from a place of a revelation that was yesterday, expecting results today, nothing happens. We have to pray from the place of revelation today in order to see the results. You get what I'm saying? So there was a season where people didn't know a lot about the supernatural realm, and people could pray and ask God for a miracle and he would do it. But God has been revealing more about heaven, more about the kingdom, more about the authority that he has given us as joint heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We can't pray that anymore. And those who still do it, it's an emotional heart cry, and we feel for you, but it's not going to produce a thing but sympathy. It doesn't move anything in the heavenly realms or in the earth realm, which is where our words have power to shift and move things. Every time you say something, every time you do something, it has an impact, and it releases something of a spiritual substance that then impacts the natural, because you live in a dual place, in dual reality. A lot of people understand that Jesus redeemed us and brought us into right relationship with God, right? He died on the cross to bring us right into right relationship with God, right? Right? That's true. But do you know that Jesus not only restored us to right relationship, he restored us back to the supernatural nature that we originally created? See, some people stop at, I'm in right relationship with God because my sins are removed from me and I am forgiven because of the blood of Jesus. But you have to remember, you were also, and we would say our spirits were created, we are born again. But being born again means I now am the seed of God again. And I am now back to the supernatural nature in which I was originally created. So you are supernatural by design. Yes. You are miracle workers by design. So you can't allow people to tell you that you should pray for a miracle and believe God for a miracle and fast for this miracle. Getting you pushing back the plate, letting your lips get all crusty for no reason. Eating a pack of Altoids in 30 minutes because you're trying to be polite and not have you not be humming. For nothing. Trying to be something that you've already been designed, trying to get something that you already have been given, and trying to be something that you already are. That's the deception of the enemy, to try to make you think you have to become what you already are. And think you got to have some big name prophet to come through town for a revival who specializes in the healing ministry. We all specialize in healing ministry. Because God told us to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out the lepers. So I remember one time, and no offense to the guy that came, but it was very funny. He came, he visited, he loved this experience. And one of the things he said to me was, he's like, give me a call. I specialize in deliverance. So if you need help casting out a demon, let me know. And I was like, bruh, thank you, my dude. All right. But we got that covered. We cast out demons all the time. But if you want to come participate, we'll hook up. I don't need a special, and see, that's the thing. People get into these pockets and circles, like I'm a deliverance minister, or I'm in a prophetic circle, or the Word of Faith camp. There is none of that. There is one body. And your primary revelatory message is not for you to have a camp around it. It's for you to release it to the body for everybody to walk in it. I recognize my assignment in my life of igniting people in the supernatural is not for me to say, ooh, look at me. Every time I pray, things happen right then. Ooh, ooh, ooh. It's about igniting others to walk in their identity. That is the primary responsibility of a prophet, apostle, pastor, evangelist, and teacher. See, a lot of people want to become prophets because they want to be the one to prophesy. But one of the primary functions of a prophet is to develop people in the prophetic.
Yes, come on.
This is why there's an apostolic grace on this house, because our apostle teaches us how to operate in the apostolic. So, glory to God. The supernatural is not an event that we pray for to happen. It's the normal life of the believer, and it's the place we live in and live from. We are supernatural beings living a supernatural experience in the natural earth. And what people describe as the supernatural really is the impact of the spiritual realm on the earth. The supernatural of God is greater than signs, wonders, and miracles. It encompasses the entirety of his kingdom.
That's right.
Because his kingdom is supernatural.
That's right.
So you can't preach the kingdom without demonstrating the supernatural.
That's right.
Otherwise, you're just trying to describe it from your intellect. Because when you partner with the angelic, that's supernatural. When you have dreams and visions and encounters with the Lord in your prayer time, that's supernatural. See, the more you acknowledge and recognize it, the greater your capacity to walk in it. Now, miracles, signs, and wonders point people to the Lordship of Jesus. Any supernatural demonstration that doesn't do that is from the spirit of deception and is witchcraft, period. Because the scripture talks about in Revelation how lying spirits would leave from the mouth of the false prophet to perform signs and wonders. The New Age people perform signs and wonders. That's how they deceive people. But it doesn't point to the Lordship of Jesus. The key being lordship. Because anything that tries to acknowledge Jesus as an enlightened one or a prophet, or if you hear people say God without saying Jesus, your discernment should be very high. And any believer that's fooling with crystals and all of that, that's unholy mixing. And since we there, any believer that's doing yoga, you need to stop it, because that's unholy mixing. Because those, that is not an exercise like the enemy has sold it. Those movements actually conjure ancestral spirits of the Hindu and Buddhist beliefs. Even if you're doing it as unto God and listening to worship music. And there's a young lady out there, I won't say her name on blast. I think I did like a couple months ago when I first said it, but I ain't gonna say it now because I've grown. Thank y'all for praying for me. I'm growing. Cause a couple months ago I'd have said that lady's name and called her out and be like, this is her name, this is her ministry, don't blah blah blah. But the Lord is helping me to be a little more gracious and kind. But this person is teaching that yoga is okay and saying they're going to claim it for the kingdom of God and saying you can't demonize everything. I do believe you can't demonize everything, but you need to call a spade a spade.
Right.
You can't claim for God what he's called you to dismantle.
Come on.
You can't dedicate what God has called you to destroy. And too many people are trying to take stuff for the kingdom of God that God didn't tell them to take. He told them to destroy that thing.
Right.
We're supposed to take spheres of influence. We're supposed to take nations. We're supposed to help take souls. But some of this foolishness that has come from the doctrines of devils, I'm just call it what it is. And we don't need to take that and Christianize it or put the word Christian or kingdom on it. And while I'm saying that, the devil does not own any style of music, so I'm not talking about music. Because folks be like, see, that style of music is demonic. No, what's released through that style of music is demonic.
Right, right, right.
So for all my friends out there, Christian rapping, you still saved. So let me read this to you. Isaiah 8 and 18 from the King James. Ooh, I didn't paste it in. Isaiah 8 and 18 from the King James. What'd you say? What? Why are you trying to whisper to me, Valerie, while I'm teaching? I know. I'm just messing with her because she's sitting right here in the front row trying to signal me with something, and I'm not understanding the lip movement, and I'm like struggling to understand the words that are coming out of her mouth. So it says this: Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and from wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. Isaiah 8, verse 18. It says, I and the children whom the Lord have given me are for signs and wonders. It says, for signs and wonders. You are supernatural by design, and you were given for signs and wonders. So you can't pray for something to happen that is beyond you. Or let's say you can't pray for God to do something for you that you were sent for already. You were already sent to work signs and wonders. And you're not to pray for signs and wonders. You're to work signs and wonders. Let me share this with you really quick, and then we're going to go. So, in Acts 3, I'm not going to break this down like I would like to right now, because I know we've been here for a minute, but I want you to see this in real time, okay? So in about 5 minutes, we'll be good. Acts 3, verse 1 from the New American Standard. It says, "Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer." Notice, apostles were going to pray. I'm just going to leave it right there. So some folks that think they don't need to pray, that's on them. It says, "And a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple," which is called Beautiful, "in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple." Now, we could break down a lot right there, but let's keep going. It says, "When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, 'Look at us.' And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, 'I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene. Walk.'" Now, verse 6, let's make a couple of key points. He wasn't talking about how he was poor, because a lot of people use that to teach poverty as humility, which is not true.
All right.
He just didn't have it on him. Peter was a business owner. He had money. And yes, he left his business to follow Jesus, but that doesn't mean he left the financial aspects. That doesn't mean he became broke. That's why when he sent out the 12 initially, he said, "Don't take your money belt." Why would he tell them not to take a money belt if they didn't have money in it?
All right, come on, you better talk.
So he said, so he didn't have it on him at that moment. He said, "What I do have, I give to you." Now, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, you can stay where you are. I'm just going to read this. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, from the New King James, it says, "These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, 'Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go preaching, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" That's the message we should be declaring, proclaiming, publishing, releasing, demonstrating: the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Then it says, "Heal the sick." He told them, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out the demons." So everybody has a deliverance ministry. And really, when you walk in a degree of the anointing that God has called you to, demons will have an outburst when they see you. And they will run from you. And they will ask you, like they will ask Jesus, "What business do we have to do with you?" So don't allow the programming of fear from all of these thriller and suspense movies make you dumb down or feel like you don't have authority over a demon that you walk on. Some people are running from demons, and demons are supposed to be running from them. Please, I'm the kind of person, I'm like, you can't hide from me. But if I see you, you going.
All right.
And don't be trying to hide. Sometimes I look for them, just saying. Just so I could cast them out. So, now look at this part, the end of verse 8. It says, "Freely you have received, freely give." Freely you have received, freely give. Right before the assignment that he gave them about healing the sick, casting, you know, raising the dead, cleansing the lepers, casting out demons, right before that, it says they were given authority. They were given authority. They were given instruction on what to do with that authority. And then Jesus closes that instruction with, "Freely you have received, freely give." Now that's important, because when we look at Acts 3, what did Peter say? "What I do have, I give to you." What did he have? The authority and the power of God on his life. And he said, what I have, I give. Or what I have, what I received, I release to you. And then he did it. He said, in the name of Jesus, walk. He did not say, Jesus, make this man walk. He did not say, Jesus, I thank you for healing. Please heal this man. He spoke to the man in his condition using the authority of the name of Jesus. He did not speak to Jesus, asking Jesus to do the thing that he had authority to do. Are you seeing that posture? Because this is why I'm saying some people are praying, asking Jesus to do a thing when he has already put his power on us to do the thing that we are asking him to do. And they're wondering why they're not getting answers, but Jesus already answered in advance by giving you the power to do the thing that you're asking him to do. Amen. So the correct posture was that he spoke to the dude and said, get up and walk. And then he completed the act of faith, because the faith is in the name of Jesus, not in our own ability. Not in wondering if it's going to work, or do I need to shout it? Do I need to scream it? Do I need to yell it? And that's right. He didn't even have to pray in tongues for 20 minutes to stir up the gift. The gift is already stirred in you. And the moment God sends you to somebody, it's stirred in you. And sometimes people pray in the spirit to make sure they're not in the flesh. But when God is telling you to do a thing, he said, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Notice the posture. And then it says, verse 7 in Acts 3 says, he seized him by his right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were strengthened. So he pulled him up. He didn't lay hands. He ain't even lay hands, really. He didn't go, Hoshata bakato bakete. Ooh, Jesus, heal, 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 Lord. Heal, Lord. Save, Lord. Deliver, Lord. Because every time we say heal, you know, church folks, they got to add save and deliver. Heal, Lord. Save, Lord. Deliver, Lord. Move, Lord. Move, Lord. Move, God. The Holy Spirit's probably like, you move. You in the way. Get out the way. So I can send somebody who's walking in revelation that will speak healing and command it and then pull them up. Y'all getting this? So to demonstrate, I'm going to stop right here, though. So y'all going to have to come check me out next time. And y'all going to have to come to the Heirs Academy class when we keep talking about the supernatural.
All right. Yes.
So the posture has shifted. The posture we must have has shifted. Where when you were a baby, you could have said, prayed that way. And God would have, and God probably did respond. But Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I reasoned as a child, but then when I became a man, or when I matured, I had to put away childish things. So in this place of maturity, because of revelation, you have to put away the things that you used to do and say and believe from the place of immaturity. See, a lot of time we take that verse and think it's talking about how I used to be before I came to Jesus. No, that applies to how you were before you got revelation. Because revelation, when you respond to it, it brings you to maturity. And you have to put away those immature things from the previous level and dimension that you used to operate in. Is this blessing y'all? All right, so I'm going to stop there. Y'all receive that?
Yes.
I know that's like a cliffhanger. Y'all like, so I know that's like a cliffhanger, but that's all right. Because I want you to be aware so that you can steward this revelation that was just shared, but also the prophetic words. the prophetic utterances, and what happened in the realm of the spirit that you will see in the natural based on what we did today. Because you can't come in and begin to exercise authority to this degree and then walk out and go back to a place like you'd never exercised authority. So I want you to leave here today knowing you have power. Say, I have power. And leave here today knowing that the thing that God has given you dominion over, you're going to exercise it. And you're not going to pray and ask Jesus to do that part. You're going to do your part while Jesus does his part. Amen.